Discussion of truth here, Ian Trottier. Like I started this show in 2016. Little technical issues here with the iPrig. What's it called? The iPro Rig Duo. And maybe, you know, maybe time for an upgrade here. But if you've been standing by there, appreciate you doing so. Coming in at the Sunday mark. This is the second. I can't even keep track here. Definitely the second consecutive Sunday, certainly, of doing the show, and that's simply because the desire and the need. This is what's happening here. The independent voice is being squashed. The truth, right? The truth is being squashed. Look at what's happening now to medical doctors, scientists, Judy Mikovits, and this is nothing new. It's just the efforts are ramping up here, big time. And like Servando Gonzalez said on this program. Please familiarize yourself with who he is. He's a Cuban-born historian, University of Havana, living in the United States now for years, decades. And he says, what happened in Cuba will happen here in the United States. That is the aim. That is what has been planned. That is what is being developed. Why? Because the Central Intelligence Agency, folks, is controlled by the international banks. It's not controlled by you. It doesn't represent you, the people. It doesn't represent your constitution. It doesn't represent you. It doesn't represent America. It represents European banking. And that is why it is essentially a non-U.S. entity developed as a result of World War II. We're going to bring on a special guest today, and this fellow... This individual has a really interesting story. It's very unfortunate what is happening. It's unfortunate what is happening. Two weeks ago, I was in San Antonio, and the event that I was at, hosted, sponsored by a gentleman named Clay Clark, that I've been associated to and working with his movement now since April. And he's an independent voice, isn't he, in America? And he's speaking truth and freedom of his own. He's been doing his show for 8 years. And I get a phone call in the text. It's about 1:30 a.m. So Sunday morning. This is 2 weeks ago, San Antonio, and some people that I knew of, associated with Latinos for Trump, had said that this person had been asked to deboard a plane. The entire plane being deboarded. You can find this. You can find this episode, this release from Mike Adams at Brighteon. Frontier Airlines airline attendants had seemingly overheard a conversation about two passengers having a private conversation about being disgruntled and disappointed about the continued mask mandate. Next thing I knew, this person with his two children next to him and his wife, technically girlfriend, they're not married, were asked to get off the plane. There was no engagement at all regarding no masks with the airline attendants. There was no engagement of any hostile theme with the airline staff. It seems, from my understanding, is that these people were targeted for having a conversation, even though they were wearing masks, about not wearing masks. And not even saying, hey, I'm going to take this mask off. Just saying, hey, this is ridiculous. It's gone too far. I mean, masks are proven not to work. If you want to wear a mask, but don't mandate that on other people. Just like the vaccine. Don't mandate the vaccine on somebody. You can't mandate that stuff. It's an unproven vaccine. Are you kidding me? You rush this thing out to market. You're injecting millions and millions and millions of people with this mRNA that recreates spike protein in the body. It's a synthetic compound. I mean, this is tyrannic, folks. Yeah, but people openly, willingly, oh, yes, please inject me so I can be protected. But, oh, it's not going to protect you from the variant. And, you know, it's not even going to protect you from what it's designed to protect you from, which means it's not even a vaccine. It's simply an injection and inoculation. But now, folks, I'm going to bring on here as our first guest. We're going to have two guests join us this hour. And, look, if you tried catching me at that 4 o'clock hour, I started a bit late. Like, look, and most people that know my show, it's Wednesdays at 5. But I'm doing more shows randomly. And again, Lucas Wall was one of my guests last week that talked to me. He's fighting the Biden administration. He's fighting TSA. He's fighting multiple government agencies over these masks mandates. He's been injected. He's been injected with the, quote, vaccine, yet he's still being required to wear masks. He's had enough. He's had enough. And we're going to bring on Michael Ferris here momentarily, who heard the episode that I did with Lucas last week and wanted to join the program, and I've extended the invitation. We're also going to bring on another individual that will be joining Michael, and this fellow is named Tony Edis. And this will just blow you away, what's happening to Michael. We'll get his story here in about a minute. But if you are not sharing this information, folks, and you are relying on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC to deliver you what is critical and crucial to news, if you will, and that is the survival of freedom of media or press, free press, I think it's called, in the United States, then you are living in a tunnel with no lights on. You're living with your head in a closet in a, under a rock. So this is where I get back to Servando Gonzalez, a Cuban-born historian. This is Ian. What happened in Cuba is exactly planned to happen in the United States. Oh, but Ian, no. The CIA, Servando Gonzalez, he's a theorist. The CIA would never do that to its own people. The CIA, folks, is not controlled by Americans. That's what you need to understand. The Central Intelligence Agency is ran by European bankers. It does not represent the United States people or its constitution. Just like Paul Craig Roberts said on the show, former Oxford fellow, former Stanford fellow. I mean, are those credentials not high enough for you, ladies and gentlemen? Are those credentials not high enough for you? He said there is no constitution in the United States. It simply appears that you have constitutional rights. And what Servando says is that the United States has been invaded by a communist regime. This is a communist takeover. So, folks, you need to organize yourself. You need to gather yourself. You need to clean out the garbage in D.C. that's infiltrated your government in D.C. You need to clean out those politics. And you need to hold those politicians accountable and keep their word. Hold them accountable to transparency. We're going to bring on Michael right now. I think I've got this. I think I got the right phone number for him. This is Michael Ferris, and this will appall you. This will just blow you away, what's happening to this man.
Hello.
Michael Ferris.
Yes.
Ian Trottier here. Welcome to Discussions of Truth, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Well, I'm doing fine. I appreciate you standing by. And as you know, in about 15 minutes, we'll bring in Tony. But Michael, introduce yourself to listeners and let people know who you are.
Yeah, all right, Dan. My name is Mike Ferris. I'm from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. The job that I perform requires that I fly every 12 days out west to help CAL FIRE and the Forest Service in containing wildland fire with helicopters. And because of my medical disability, it is hard for me to wear a mask. Actually, I can only wear them for about 5-10 minutes before I actually start to panic and eventually faint if left on too long, which I've done twice while traveling on United Airlines. And I've been fighting this battle with the airlines and TSA per se since April of this year. I get about 13 DOT complaints into the Department of Transportation, which is supposed to be basically overseeing the airlines' policies in relation to disabled travelers. And they have gotten all these complaints and have still done nothing about it to this day. I haven't got a single word, even though my senator, which is Rand Paul, has reached out to that agency twice now asking for information as to why it is not done. And the reply is basically that they're working on it. So a little other bit of interesting information is one of the other petitioners of the 13 flyers here that's suing the TSA finally got a disposition back from the DOT recently. And they did find that JetBlue and Southwest both broke the law in relation to the ACAA and not allowing him to fly without a mask, but then did not fine either one of them or give them, you know, do anything punitive to those airlines, which is an atrocity. But that's just as of within the last 24, 48 hours, we've gotten that information. I'm currently suing the TSA myself and on, you know, three other petitioners from the Sixth Circuit. Directly after I did that on October 19th, I went to fly on the 21st of October, and the TSA had placed me on a terrorist watch list, which I had to file an emergency motion to be removed from, albeit the motion was denied. The TSA documents to the court in secret, which is what they call ex parte in camera. And I'm assuming that at some point the judges there seeing that they were going to remove me from this list and that it was all just a quote-unquote probably simple misunderstanding. But the thing is it was no accident. So as of now, I'm not on a terrorist watch list anymore. They don't bother me. I still cannot obtain an exemption from the airlines to fly a mask free, even though I have a letter from my doctor which explains it's detrimental to my health and has already caused me injury twice in relation to flying on these commercial airlines. The only place that I do have some luck is through the TSA. Now hear me out. Usually I show up to the TSA checkpoint and you know, the first thing they do is ask me to put a mask on, and then I tell them I'm medically exempt. Then they go get a supervisor, and the supervisor comes over and reviews the document and says, yes, you know, he does have this letter. And then they challenge me. Oh, sir, this is a federal law. I said, no, it's not. So I go back and forth with them for 5 or 10 minutes. And usually I do get through the screening process without a mask, and I can walk all through the airport without a mask. But when I get to the jet bridge to board the aircraft, I have to don the mask as a placebo so that they can see that I am complying just so that I can get on the plane. Usually I will take tons of snacks and drinks and I just eat and drink on the plane the whole time, which is ridiculous, but basically the whole flight is an anxiety attack just to get to work and get home from my job. As of right now, everything through the courts have been denied, the Sixth Circuit, and then of course the government filed a motion to transfer our case from the Sixth Circuit to the DC Circuit, and I think Lucas had mentioned that to you last week on your show with him, and they have, you know, proceeded to deny everything we've brought forward, even though it's very blatant disregard for the law. And one thing that I see that's being failed to be mentioned is, not only are they breaking the ACAA, but when the DOT told them that they must put policies in place to accommodate the disabled. What they did, they put policies in place that go directly against 14 CFR 382. So that specific Code of Federal Regulation says that they may not ask any disabled person to ask for assistance in advance to their travel date. They cannot ask for medical certificates. They cannot ask for negative test results of any kind. There are rare exemptions to that, and it has to deal with onboard oxygen, electric wheelchairs, stretchers, things of that nature that they would have to make an accommodation in space for, as far as the aircraft in that setting, due to the LOPA, which is the layout and passenger agreement. You know, if they have to accommodate a very large wheelchair, they may not be able to sell a seat next to it, et cetera, et cetera. So that is the exception to that CFR that allows them to ask for advance notice of travel. Everything else is all illegal. So these airlines ask you for your medical letter from your doctor. Then they say you must have a negative COVID test. And then even when you submit those two things, they get with a third party medical review agency. I can't exactly name that agency at this point, but then they have the opportunity to deny or accept your exemption. So someone who knows nothing about you as a patient, someone you don't see or have any relationship with at all on a personal level in relation to your health, has the opportunity to tell you whether or not you have this disability and whether it qualifies to get on their airline without a mask. So that's where I've been injured twice on the planes, because I give them the information, although illegally requested. I do it as kind of a meet them in the middle, and I've been trying to do it, and at each turn rejected every time, which two of those incidents resulted in me being injured. Both of those incidents were treated as if they were not even a big deal. They didn't do a report. They didn't follow up with me. They never, none of that. You know, it was just, oh, okay, no big deal. Well, you can't fly today. So anyway, that's where I'm at now. So now that everything's been denied through the lower court of appeals, we now move to the Supreme Court. So that's going to happen. It would appear sometimes this next week. I'll get those documents mailed out to them and then see if the supreme law of the land can help us out here, you know.
Michael, Rand Paul is aware of this, is aware of your situation?
Yes, Rand Paul knows very well this situation. And actually, the documents were supposed to go up to D.C. To not only him, but a few more individuals, as far as the inaction of the DOT by not giving me an answer. And like I said, they have already come to the conclusion that Southwest and JetBlue broke the law. And when they do that, the DOT, who regulates the airlines, is supposed to impose punitive, you know, damages to them as far as a fine usually. But they did not in this case, and I have no understanding as to why, because, for instance, they're touting in these airports and on these airplanes that if you refuse to wear a mask, it's a direct violation of federal law, and it is not. Congress has passed no law that you must wear a mask in any conveyance of public travel, whether it be airports, hubs, train stations, you name it. It is a mandate. And the TSA has overreached their statutory authority by trying to enforce health measures on people when they should be focused on the security of the airport. The COVID has absolutely no bearing on transportation security. These mask mandates are health directives from the CDC. And as the Supreme Court has already found, the CDC has overstepped their boundaries with the eviction moratorium and the cruise ship issue where they, you know, in Florida, where they were trying to impose different restrictions on them. The Supreme Court had decided against that. You know, even during a pandemic, we have laws and we have treaties and we have regulations and state law, of course, which would trump, you know, it's your 10th Amendment, right? You know what I'm saying? And the TSA and the CDC are completely denying the fact that they're breaking all of those laws. And of course, the government's lawyers are arguing that, yes, they do have this authority to make everyone in the airports to wear masks. And even disabled people who come and give the documents, although illegally requested, they can deny you as well, which makes no sense. I mean, it's all clearly written law that was passed by Congress many years ago. You can't ask for these things. If, you know, if a disabled passenger shows up and says, I'm disabled and this is what I cannot do, they cannot refuse you. And if they do, they have to give you a written letter within 10 days of the refusal, which then puts it on paper as to why they refused you, right? So then now they can be sanctioned for such or regulated in that manner. Well, they're not doing all these things. They're not following all these laws. They're not providing the written rejections. And, you know, they're not allowing you to board these planes with a disability and not wear a mask. I mean, there's very rare, I know of like a few times this has worked with like maybe Delta. There's a guy that I follow online. His name's Ian Smith. He runs a gym in Belmar, New Jersey. He has been able to, you know, board planes, especially with Delta, without them. But then again, he's been refused as well. And then he also got marked Quad F. So I've been following his story as well. But he has had luck very few times, or maybe more than a few times, of being able to board these planes without masks. And of course, he does put that on his social media, which is good because he's got a big following and people can see that it can be done. But as far as on the masses, right, you know, you can't just submit the letter, even though I have this disability and I say, hey, I don't have COVID. Here's the negative test. What they're doing is they're trying to wrap you up under this clause in this 14 CFR under direct threat, right, which is where they have to make a quote unquote individualized assessment, which they're using the third party medical advisors to do. And the thing is, they never see you. They can't tell if you have a temperature. They can't tell if, you know, your face is red, or are you coughing, or is your nose running? That's not an individualized assessment. They're reading on paper what your condition is, and then they say, no, anxiety does not qualify. He has to wear a mask. Well, now I've been injured twice, and that's still not enough. I mean, what more needs to happen besides, you know, the death of an individual because they put a mask on just so they can get to work, or maybe they can get to see their family or take their children to a medical appointment, et cetera, et cetera. What has to happen before they realize they have to take this broad step back and say, hey, you know what? If someone comes to us with a disability, that's it. We have to let them on. I mean, that's the law. It's written. You see what I'm saying?
Now, Michael, you are a U.S. veteran, Armed Forces.
Yes.
How did you feel? And I want listeners to understand that to me, it boggles my mind that you were added to a terror watch list. Explain that for listeners.
Well, let me go a little deeper than that. Okay. So I've been in the aviation industry. I joined the Air Force in the aviation spectrum, working on UH-60s back in 2005. I did a little bit of a term of service and got out, and then joined the civilian corps of that same manner, working for the U.S. Army as a civilian in Iraq and Afghanistan, various places across the United States. And then in 2013, I took a step out of the contracting world and said, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want to go do something different. So I entered into the commercial aviation spectrum. And when you enter into the commercial aviation world, what has to be done is another extensive background check, which would grant you access to airport ramps. And I'm talking major airports. And so I've been given SIDA badge credentials, which, if for your listeners, SIDA is Security Identification Display Area. It's the same badge you see on the TSA agents, all the airport personnel, your crew members that come in and out. They all have SIDA badges, which means that they have went through an extra level of background screening to ensure that they're not a threat to this, you know, community. So I've been credentialed, SIDA badge credentialed in SDF, which is Louisville, Kentucky. That's my hometown airport, and LaGuardia, which is LGA. Did a lot of work in LaGuardia, starting up their American Airlines deal for Republic Airways back in 2016 or 17. So the TSA and the aviation community, my name is out there, you know, and I am who I am, and that those records don't go away. So in order for me to be placed on a Quad S list, especially at such a quote unquote coincidental time, someone had to have manually entered that and approved it, you know, to screen me under a manner. So let's just say someone did add me to this list on the Quad S list. They had to have seen my name, looked at my history, known what I've been affiliated with in the aviation community as I supervised maintenance for the commercial industry for 4 years, and then still decided to go ahead and put me on that list. Now, here's the funny thing. The only reason they would have to place me on that list would be the fact that I asked for mask exemptions from these airlines, or that I had dabbled in the idea of doing these silent protests on airplanes in relation to the mask mandate, which we didn't end up doing just because we couldn't gain the support and, you know, the time didn't work out. But they can't put you on a Quad S list because you're doing a protest. So that's also unconstitutional. That's your First Amendment right. So what I will say is, when I seen it on the phone, I went to check in. It said, you know, your reservation requires special handling. You know, the first thing I thought was, okay, the airlines are up to something, right? And so I get to check in at the kiosk, and then it says, you must see the agent. So I see the agent. Well, the interesting part of this is, on that particular day with United, that agent had called their corporate security department and commenced to ask me a bunch of weird questions about guns and am I traveling with guns and so many different things that I would have never even been involved with. I've never checked a gun in my life to go anywhere. All my guns stay at home. So, you know, after this 30 to 40 minute debacle, then this TSA agent comes, you know, nonchalantly acting as if he's not there to pick me up or talk to me. And then those two have their conversation and then escort me to TSA, where they give me my own special lane. You know, obviously I go through mask free, because as I'm sitting there, you know, debating with the TSA manager in Ontario, California, she finally understands that in the security directives, there are exemptions for disabled travelers, and she allows me to go through without a mask. So we go through this 20-minute debacle where they touch me for 5 to 7 minutes, take all my stuff out, swab it with this. It makes you feel, even though you haven't done anything wrong, as if you have done something wrong. It's very belittling, especially when I know that it wasn't a random selection, which is what that Quad S stands for. It's a secondary security screening selectee, something in those terms. So it's like supposed to be a random act of, you know, extra security that the TSA uses to check people. But I would imagine they did it so they could look in my bags to see if I had protest signs or, you know, all of these other things that maybe one of these airlines had nicked me for, because they said that they were scared of me, who as a member of the aviation community for the past 7 or 8 years commercially and having cited badge credentials, there's no way they could have came to the conclusion that I posed any threat to the aviation community, if you see what I'm saying. So it was deliberate, and it's tyrannical. You know, it really is. What they're doing is they're going after the very people who have at one time or are now, you know, trying to defend its government, you know, itself from its government, and defend the values that we all know and love that are slowly being pulled out from underneath of us because of some odd agenda by an administration that can't get over the fact that the pandemic is over, you know. So I don't want to go too far off on the political spectrum, but that's where we're at, and that's how I feel, because, you know, they targeted me. There's no way around it. You can't wrap your head around it any other way. You don't spend 7-8 years in the aviation community, you know, being triple background checked at different airports and having access to ramp to go fix aircraft AOG at different stations through the years, and then all of a sudden have to sue the TSA, end up on some Quad S list that you've never been on or even questioned in your entire life. You see what I'm saying?
Michael, we're going to bring on Tony Edis, but I want to give you a moment to give listeners an explanation. Who is Tony Edis?
So Tony is one of the petitioners in our case as well. He is a Purple Heart veteran who, after suing the TSA, 3 weeks later got a letter revoking his what they call a pre-check eligibility. Tony was given a letter by the TSA stating that after their review of his, I guess, credentials and this and that, that they could no longer determine that he posed minimal threat to the aviation community. So Tony was shot in the chest while serving our great country, and then has PTSD and other issues, sensory issues that prevent him from wearing the mask. And, you know, he's filed all these same things to try to board these airplanes without one and been denied and just treated like, you know, a second class citizen, even worse, actually, in my opinion. You wouldn't treat your dog this way, you know, much less this Purple Heart veteran who served his country honorably, shot in the chest defending this great nation. And then what is he, how is he repaid, you know, that he's been told that basically he's now being watched and cannot be partaken in a system that other people can to easily pass through the screening process because now he doesn't pose a minimal threat to their community, you know.
Michael, please stand by as I bring in Tony.
Hello.
Michael, or excuse me, Tony, Ian Trottier here, sir. Welcome to Discussions of Truth. I'm going to thread you in. I've got Michael live with me right now. Gentlemen, thank you for the thank you for joining the program. Tony, Michael's done a quick introduction for listeners as to who you are. I didn't realize you are a Purple Heart veteran. For listeners, Tony, take a moment, introduce yourself.
My name is Tony Eads, and I served in Iraq from 2003. I was shot in the chest in a drive-by shooting. It left me, gave me several damages to my chest and damaged one lung. And when I got out of the service, I've had breathing problems ever since I got out. And when this mask mandate came along, it just made it really hard for me to breathe. And a lot of times I gotta catch my breath a lot.
Well, Tony and Michael, thank you both of you for your service to protect this country and its constitution. Just so that you know, I have recently been working with an organization of vets and others called Restore Liberty, and I'd be happy to make that connection to that organization for you if you're not familiar with their work. And Michael, just so you know, I am familiar with the trials of Ian Smith and what he's done. So gentlemen, thank you for your work, and thank you for your continued work. This is my question, Tony. Michael was categorized, and now he's gotten off the list. He was categorized as being a terrorist, or at least putting on a terror watch list. Has anything like this happened to you, Tony?
Never, not until now. With the exception of any minor traffic incidences, I've never had a criminal record.
Wow.
Yeah, but this is just, it just boggles my mind that they consider me ineligible for the TSA pre-check, for one. And it does surprise me that they haven't done to me what they did to Michael. But then again, it would surprise me if they did, because I just feel that this is unprecedented times in America, and I'm just very shocked and saddened by the state of our country nowadays.
Now, I'm gonna introduce you as well to an organization called U.S. Freedom Flyers. Josh Yoder joined me last week with Lucas Wall. You heard, both of you, you heard the discussion that Lucas and I had last week. Tell Tony just a little bit more from you. Sounds like Michael's working with Rand Paul. Tell listeners a little bit more about your case and what you're doing to defend your liberty and your rights and your health here in regards to these mask mandates.
Well, but I went to Phoenix on a pleasure trip in February of this year. And I knew the mask mandates were in place, but I also knew that a lot of the airlines were, sometimes would kind of not enforce them strictly. And whenever they looked away, just lower the mask. Well, I'm away back from Phoenix on a Southwest flight. The lady was the flight attendant lady. She was just constantly on my case about the whole mask. And if I lowered it a little bit or right away from my face a little bit, I mean, she would get on me. And then I was trying to stay polite and professional with her and just like, look, I can't breathe. But after the fifth or sixth time, I said, I can't freaking breathe. So we was about ready to take off. He was almost at the runway. She goes to the captain, but this is without me knowing. And then all of a sudden, I hear the captain say, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to return to the terminal to remove a passenger. And then all the thing I'm thinking is like, seriously? Wow. But that's all they said. So I peek around the corner and I ask her, this is about me, isn't it? And she didn't say nothing. And then I asked her again, and she's like, so this is about me, isn't it? He said, you'll just find out when we get there. I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, that's pretty standard of probably, I would say, 20 to 30% of those flight attendants in. It's, and I don't mean to butt in on you, Tony, but in my opinion, just in my experience, like I said, I travel every 12 days. Some of these flight attendants have what I like to call a personality disorder. They've been given this little bit of freedom to police people in a manner that they've never been given this freedom to do. So they have a cause, they have a purpose. And it's not just about doing their job, or else they would have some compassion for guys like Tony, myself, and the millions of other disabled travelers who are just trying to get where they need to go. But there are times you have a flight attendant. But yesterday, I flew from Louisville to Ontario. Didn't have a problem. I put the mask on just enough to get through the gate, get in my seat, do my thing, and evade their attention, right? And some of the flight attendants, they don't pay attention, or if you speak to them appropriately and say, hey, this is the deal, they say, oh, okay, no worries, it's okay, just try to wear it as much as you can, but I understand. But some flight attendants, it doesn't matter. And in the case where I fainted on the first United flight, smashed my face in the galley cart, that was the exact case. I mean, the woman every 2 minutes was, sir, you need to have your mask on, and I'm eating, I'm actively eating something and drinking, sir, you got to put your mask on, you've been sitting there too long without it. Okay, well, finally I say, to heck with it, I'll leave it on. And then I get lightheaded, the strings pulling from my ears, get a massive migraine, start to get tunnel vision, semi kind of, you get real, almost like sick to your stomach. So I'm like, all right, I need to get up and go to the galley, or the lab. I got to take this thing off, get my head cleared, recuperate, breathe a little bit, and I'll go back to my seat. Well, I get up, obviously I have it on because she's sitting there at her jump seat there in front of the lab. I make my way up. And the other flight attendant had just started pulling the galley trays out to serve the customers. And then, boom, fell flat to my face, hit the galley cart on the way down, smashed my face on the floor. And then, the one passenger in first class said I was out for something like 7 to 10 seconds and was scared to death. She didn't know what to do. Supposedly, she put a DOT complaint on my behalf as well. I'm not sure. I didn't get that person's information. But, after it happened, the flight attendant's like, hey, don't put it back on. So in that scenario, that woman realized really quickly, you cannot, it's not a one size fits all. You can't do this to everybody, because not everyone can do it. But before the incident happened, she was very, very unruly to me, very rude, and unprofessional as far as the way she approached it. And like I said, it wasn't about just doing a job. She had this a little bit of power. It's a personality disorder. And what's going to happen is if and when this thing finally does come tumbling down, I think what you're going to see is a lot of these flight attendants, they're going to go into this depression because they're going to lose this purpose that they once had. And I'm telling you, quote me now, because I believe it's coming. It is somewhat of a mental disorder in itself, the way that these people are treating their other, their fellow Americans. It's
Can
inhumane.
I add something to that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between a disorder, mental disability, and not a mental disability. I believe they're choosing to do this because they want to be assholes.
I'm
And
sure
first
that
of all,
has something to do with
personality
it.
disorder is something you cannot control. Like, I have PTSD. That's something I cannot control. So these people are choosing to be like this. To me, that's not a personality disorder.
Do you think it's stoked by fear because you know, so many people are living their lives because they're allowing themselves to be brainwashed by mainstream media and the propaganda and just this kind of fear factor. Does that come into play?
I can understand the fear factor and the brainwashing part.
Yeah, Tony, Michael's mentioned because we spent about 10-15 minutes with Michael before bringing you on, Tony. But Michael clearly used the term targeting. Tony, do you feel that you are being targeted? And if you feel you're being targeted, why? Simply because of the mask wearing?
I don't think they knew me before they saw me on the flight. But once they see the people not fully wearing the mask, in their mind, yes, I would say that they're targeting people who are choosing to disobey the law. That's why they're coming so down hard on us. To me, that's what I feel. As me, we are outsiders. We are not following the herd. They want herd followers. They want compliant robots.
Michael, you have anything to add to that? Do you feel that there is a specific reason outside of perhaps? What I'm threading in here is that we've got an unstable racial climate across the country. Is there something outside of the fact that you're simply have your disability letter not to be masked? Is there something else going on here in your view?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you both said, it is about compliance. I mean, if you look at just the logic, if you step outside of that small window of a policy, or this is what we say, or this is our policy, whatever, if you step out of that and you look at just the humans on the aircraft, even the fear mongers, right? They're saying, you know, oh, the mask protects you. But at any given time, the whole plane is unmasked, eating, drinking, you know, whatever. And even some in the back who don't even have it on because they are back there or midsection or whatever and say, oh, well, they're not looking, right? Because there's many other people who don't have disabilities who just don't want to wear the mask, right? So there are a lot of those people too. And they're being targeted as well. Simply because they don't want to comply. They're doing it because they have to get where they're going. And it's no different with me. Like I said, I have to pick my battles, but I'm trying to do it all legally. I'm trying to do it all on paper. And I'm trying to, you know, resource everything that I can to get this thing extinguished, especially in relation to a protected class such as the disabled, people with these disabilities who cannot fathom or cannot do the mask wearing because it causes issues. But I think you're right, Ian. It is about compliance. There is no science behind their efficacy. I don't believe, regardless of my position as a person with a disability, just logic tells me of the research that I've done, there is no evidence that shows that wearing these masks around all day have done anything to help us slow, prevent, stop, you name it, you know? And then specifically, I bring that up because there's no other setting in 49 states where they're doing this anymore. I mean, you go out to Walmart or you go to a concert or you go to a movie theater, you know, where I'm
even
from,
military base.
No one is wearing masks anymore. I mean, the gig is up, it's all over. And this FTMM, is just the government's way, in my opinion, of extending a hand that doesn't belong to them in getting people to comply with certain things that they should not be trying to get them to comply with. It is a fear factor. It's a fearmonger issue. And it's totally blown out of proportion because if they worked, everybody'd be wearing them and we would see a major reduction in this thing and you wouldn't be on the sixth variant with the 12th booster. So that's just logic. You don't have to be a scientist for that. I mean, but then on the other side of that, if you question it, if you say, hey, I want some real data, I want something that shows me so that I can get behind this thing or even try to meet you halfway, you become a national threat because you don't trust Dr. Fauci. And anytime you question him, now you're, you know, a terrorist to your land because we're asking questions. It's absurd.
Yeah, Tony, you mentioned even on military bases. I got to pose this question to you, Tony. There's, you know, if you look at the state of Australia, they're in a mess. Even the Canadians. I mean, they don't have a Second Amendment, right? But the Canadians are a bit of a mess. In the United States, as gentlemen like yourselves that are military trained, and you're going through all the proper work here, what is your consideration here, Tony, in regards to somebody like Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum and this movement for vaccine passports? And you look at de Blasio in New York saying, hey, you can't go to the gym, you can't go to restaurants without vaccination cards, these vaccine passports. Is there a thread going on here in relation to vaccine passports, Tony? And the reason I mention that is because, you know, you're saying, Michael, you're going into Walmart, you're going military bases, Tony. People are over the mask thing, yet the airlines are restricting this travel. Is there something going on above, perhaps, the FAA, the TSA, that are saying, no, you know, we gotta try to restrict this travel, only the vaccinated? Do you ever make that consideration?
No, when I go on a military basis, I'm a civilian now, but when I go on a military basis, I got friends who are sergeant majors and captains and colonels, and I talk to them about what's going on, and even they don't even know what's going on. I mean, I've got a friend who's a retired sergeant major who's been in the medical field for 40 years. And he told me himself that it's all about control. It has nothing to do with the vaccines and everything. And even when you go on a military base, they say they wear a mask and that's required, but nobody's really fully enforcing it because nobody wants to step on that line to really upset the customers, to piss them off. So it's gotten to the point now where the airline people are the only ones, in my opinion, who are actually enforcing it. Everybody else say that they need to enforce it, but they really don't.
Mm-hmm. Michael, do you have any comments or opinions on that? Michael, are you there with us? Maybe we lost one.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I got you. Yeah, as far as you were talking with the Charles Schwabs and the Blasios and such, you know, they are all just props for the television, in my opinion. You call them whatever you want, but it is for sure, I think there's a big push for this. I mean, you look at the money. Follow the money. That's the biggest thing. You know, you have Pfizer, who's made $36 billion at this point in a quarter or something, and not exact numbers, but I think I'm relatively close, sharing at $9 a share over a year ago, and now $320 some a share, roughly. I mean, come on. What is the, and now how are you testing for these variants? How do you know who has it? How do you, you know, it's all just this big, huge mess. They have no control over it. They can't stand up and say, hey, we got it wrong. Let's find a different measure that, you know, helps this deal. But it's not going away. It's here. You know, it's just like the flu. And while I'm here, what I can bring up is no time in history, other than, let's call it the 1913 Spanish flu, right, where you had the mask police. And they spoke about, you know, forcing individuals to wear face coverings. And then later on in life, a document was authored by none other than Anthony Fauci, which said more people had died due to this bacterial pneumonia, obviously caused by the mask wearing. But people don't know this stuff. They've not researched it. They've not found that the one individual who told you in the beginning the mask wearing wasn't going to work is now touting 6 masks, 12 boosters, and making money for his buddies, right? They're all invested in this. So it's not about a virus anymore. It's all about control, and it's all about filling their pockets because they're greedy, and they're just directly intertwined with all of these things that they're promoting. It's a grand marketing scheme, and you have to give them kudos because it's smart. They've scared everyone into, you know, complying, and now everyone who would normally not be going out and doing all of these things are now doing these things. But it's fallen away. So what do? They have to promote this thing. Oh, there's this new, more scarier beast that you guys have got complacent now. and you have to harness down, and you have to, you know, remember why we're here. Well, it started out with 12 days to slow the spread. Well, on day 13, I felt it coming, it just like I think a lot of other Americans had seen coming as well. This thing wasn't going to end quickly. You know, emergency doesn't constitute a two-year span. You know, obviously, if you ain't got it under control now, you ain't going to get it under control. It's here to stay. People are going to get it, and unfortunately, people are going to die from it. It's a very small percentage. Most have comorbidities that I've found in my research, and a lot of information is being withheld from the general public, which is just an absurdity because, you know, even Fauci himself said, well, hey, you know, I lied to you guys about the mask because I didn't want everybody going out and buying all these masks that the first responders couldn't get. Well, what are you doing? I mean, is everyone's important, right? We all have a right to know. We all have, not to everything, obviously, because they're always keeping secrets from us. But why would you, I mean, that's literally, that should be the crime of the century. You know, you're lying to the public about health matters. If that's the case, right? Hey, this isn't going to work. But if it is, now you're saying you lied purposely to deceive people. I mean, that should be the crime of the century, man. It just, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I recently hosted Dr. Peter McCullough, who's well-published, peer-reviewed, 51 publications, very seasoned medical physician. And he clearly said that this virus has been manipulated in a lab. He said that. I didn't say that. He said that. And there's many others, highly accredited individuals, scientists and whatnot, that are saying that there's just something not going on here that's right, and people need to come forward and be transparent. Tony, the two of you, Michael and Tony, the two of you are working together actively with Lucas. And Michael, you say that there's a case, and Lucas had mentioned this last week, that there's a case that should be arriving at the Supreme Court here shortly. Tony, do you have any comments on that case? Are you involved in that?
Yes, and right now, I'm not really able to mention anything about that quite yet. I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around it all.
Michael, do you want to add anything about that case?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as far as what I can tell you is, this is a long shot. I mean, us going to the Supreme Court, there, it's a slim chance. You know, these circuit courts have made their decisions, albeit I think biased, because if you look at these websites, you know, the courthouse sites, they're enforcing these same illegal policies on the patrons that walk through those taxpayer-funded buildings, right? If you come into the courthouse, you must wear a mask. It has to be an N95, 6 feet away. All this propaganda is right there in the middle of the judicial system. So it's going to be very hard, you know, and I think where we had the wins with the eviction moratorium and the vaccine mandate being stayed back about a month ago, you know, with the OSHA thing, that's a little different. The masks have done, they're so different because the masks have swept the nation already. Everyone donned them. Everyone got on them for either fashion kicks or the fear or, oh, it's just a mask. Oh, it's just 2 weeks, right? And then they just kept going along with it. So it's infiltrated us so hard that it is going to be hard to come back from it. So going to the Supreme Court, it is a long shot. But like Lucas and I say to each other, is you have a 0% chance to win if you don't take it there, and then maybe just above a zero if you do. What we need is people to take this information and spread it. I mean, you know, the court's going to have a hard time siding with us, no non-attorney pro se petitioners, right? We're not paying any of their buddies to bring this case. We don't have that tens of thousands of dollars to give away to a lawyer, but we are standing here, and I'm not trying to equate it to our forefathers, but what I can say is this is the same thing they did. You know, they started out at the bottom and said, hey, we're addressing you. We have grievances, right? We want them addressed. We need this thing, these things changed. That's what we're doing in a smaller group, just standing up and knocking on the doors and saying, hey, you're not paying attention to what's relevant. There are laws that protect us. There are laws that protect just the everyday American people, and they're just being trampled on. So we bring those cases in hopes that those courts and the judicial system will in fact favor what we bring. We have sufficient evidence that they've done it. I mean, it's written law, you know. But you know, the tricky thing about this is, if it's not presented exactly perfect, if there's not this one little T or one little I crossed and dotted that they want to see, it's a negative. And it's just going to be so hard to come out of this thing as pro se petitioners. But if we don't, then we can't say that we didn't exhaust all the resources. So we're going to the top. We're going to the very top. We're going to try everything we can to bring notice to it. And I think, you know, more protest, more people not complying, that's how we get out of it. You know, you got to come together. And like I said, we had plans to do this silent protest on an airplane. And that's what you're going to need. You're going to need 180 passenger plane, and 80 of those people take their masks off midair and say, we're not doing it anymore. That's what it's going to take, I think, at this point, to really show that they are not in control, because the people don't understand that we outnumber them. You know, and once five or six people walk away from the sheet, the rest of them come and say, hey, that's a good thing to stand on. We got to stand on that hill, and we got to fight to keep our freedoms, you know?
Yeah, you're bringing up a really good point here, and I appreciate you mentioning that. I as we wind down, I got a couple minutes left here, and then I got to bring in the next guest, wind this episode down. But gentlemen, I want to start with you, Michael, and then we'll end up with you, Tony. I want you to leave listeners with some final words, and just so you know, I'm gonna introduce you, the two of you, to a couple different people that I know, and hopefully get your voices and your the work out there. So that you know I'm supporting you. Look, I want to start with you, Michael. What would you like listeners to walk away with? Somebody that might be, you know, just conforming and saying, oh, I'm really tired of this this mask mandate. I want this to stop. You brought up a good point. Hey, load the whole plane and everybody object to it. But Michael, take a moment, and then we'll go with you, Tony. Take a moment and leave listeners with some final words. What you'd like them to walk away with?
Support, man. It you know, Lucas has done a great job helping us. Been a lot of meetings between all the people involved in all these suits, and there's so many of them, and it gets stretched out so far, and people get stretched thin and aggravating. So what we're not seeing is people getting behind this movement, you know. And here's how you can support us. You got lucas.travel. He's got a blog that shows everything we've been dealing with. All of the press releases are there from the beginning of what he's dealt with, what we've dealt with. He has a GoFundMe there. I have an Instagram page. I don't have my own travel blog because I'm not a blogger, but I have my own Instagram page at Heli Bearded. That's HeliBearded. I have a GoFundMe link there on my bio. Please, you know, support that, share it, donate to it. You know, if we can raise this money, maybe we find a good attorney that will help us put this in the light. You know, not that we haven't been doing a good job. I mean, if you read the cases, they're all portrayed very well. They're written well. The arguments are there. The merits are there. We're just being shot down. And I think it specifically has to do with us not having an attorney. That's my opinion. And as much as, you know, you should be able to just redress your government for grievances on your own, the system has gotten so big. You know, it's really hard to walk into that grand scheme as Lonesome Dove, 13, 14 people. I mean, you need a massive following of people to get this thing reversed. So go to those my Instagram page, his travel blog, go to those, you know, GoFundMes, share them, donate to them, stay in tune with our case, share that information anytime a press release comes out, get that to your friends, and just get your supporters to support us as well. Or if you already have somebody or know somebody and we're missing those people, we'll join with them and just, you got to make it bigger, you know, to stand here with 13 people against a massive government like we've got right now that's getting out of control. It's a tough stance. I've had some great luck with a guy named Ryan Weaver, a country singer who's really promoted helping me out and getting my information out. Stand-up guy, did some interviews with him. And Ian, thank you so much for having us as guests. I do appreciate you, you know, using your platform to get our word out. It is important that we come to these platforms because that's where it all rests. We got to get it out to the people, and this is the best way. So just support is all we can ask for.
Tony, some final words for listeners.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as well. I believe it truly is just big government. And big government has stepped in the way from allowing us to redress our grievances. It goes all the way back to medieval England, to where Parliament redresses the king. And we're doing the same thing now. We're trying to regress the president into our grievances. And I feel like we're not even being heard because we are just a small group and we don't have a big lawyer. And they're wanting to get all procedural and technical with us. But I also felt long before now that they're willing to just say that it's just the safety of the American people as a whole. They want to prevent deaths from happening. And they're willing to go through whatever lengths necessary and what they feel, even if it means not giving people their rights and restricting their rights. And to me, that's wrong. They're going with what they feel is right. And at the same time, they say, well, we need to do like martial law, so to speak, and prevent them from having certain rights just to save their lives.
And yeah, I mean, you know, Tony, not to cut you off again, but even during a pandemic, we are protected people, right? This is America. We have rights. Yeah. Everyone has rights, you know? So even during a pandemic, there are restrictions to what these people can implement on us as American people as a whole. And what they're trying to do is direct threat us and fearmonger us into compliance and full-on absolute big government control. And I mean, that's just the end game. And the only way to get out of it is kind of like what we're doing now. So we just need support, man.
And I can't believe it. And unfortunately, it has gotten political. I thought it wasn't political, but it's all about the Democrats asserting their control. The Republicans are all about giving people their individual freedoms and individual control.
Some of them are complicit too, but
it's very upsetting and shocking. I mean, even like I said before, the military. I mean, there's guys that I know that are in the military still now, who've been in for about 20 years, and they were not willing to get the vaccination. But they have the religious and medical waivers that are preventing them from getting the vaccination while being protected as well. And I also went to Las Vegas back in May. And when I went to Las Vegas back in May, even in Las Vegas on the Strip, they were saying wear their mask, but they weren't really enforcing it. They were just putting a message out there, please wear your mask, but they weren't really going around enforcing that either.
And that's because they can't enforce it because it's not a law. And it's a legal representation of law.
And I just went to Iowa last month, and then they're actually telling people that they will not enforce it. And I'm like, amen, brother. and I like going to places where they're telling people that they will not force people to put it on.
Oh, yeah, that's who's got my money.
And if you choose to, that's your decision and your choice. Absolutely. We will not say anything either way, but it should be each person's individual choice. We deserve that right as Americans.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah, well said. Thank you very much for that. And gentlemen, keep up the good work. Go ahead, Tony.
I don't want to babble on even more, but I just feel that yeah, it's definitely our freedoms and rights and liberties are being taken away. And I believe it goes right down to the core of the First Amendment. Not only a freedom of speech, but the freedom to breathe.
Yeah, that's true.
And freedom not to faint on a plane.
Gentlemen, keep up the good work, and I appreciate you joining Discussions of Truth. I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you, Ian.
Well, thank you, Ian, for letting us be on
the
show.
Folks, that is those are two warriors. I mean, we got Michael Ferris and Tony Edis, both soldiers, former U.S. military, and I had no idea Tony was a Purple Heart. These men served, from everything I can tell, honorably. And, you know, it was Miami. It was probably 2014. I came across a guy. He's a former Ranger. And he says, Ian, this is a, he says, this is 2014. He says, the battle, maybe 13, the battle that I had fought in Iraq and Afghanistan has come home. And I couldn't quite understand. I couldn't quite see what he was seeing. But on so many levels, that's what's happened. And that is why, folks, that is why I exhort you to please look at history. Look at the roots of which this country was founded upon. And these gentlemen were even talking about constitutional rights, freedom of speech. Freedom to breathe. A terrorist watch list? I mean, this is insanity. This is insanity. And I'll go back to Servando Gonzalez. Please look at the work that this Cuban historian, Cuban-American now, has been doing. And he says, Ian, the same thing that happened in Cuba is planned to happen in the United States. So the power that's behind this DC, this corrupt DC machine, which I know to be European power. I know this. It's not proven, but then show me who the financial strings are that the approaching $30 trillion federal debt is owed to. You know, everybody on the Hill should be completely irate about this right now, but it doesn't matter. Regardless of Trump, Obama, Bush, it doesn't matter. Since Reagan, it's been happening at an accelerated rate. Doesn't matter what the political alignment is. The debt continues to spiral out of control. So who is this country owed debt to? And that's where you can go to my website, iantrache.com. You can click on Remember the Alamo. I bring it all together for you. I bring it all together for you. Prove me wrong. Prove it wrong. Now, more and more Americans are catching on and realizing what is at stake here. And just as you heard from these two men, the very primary freedoms are at stake. I opened this show up by talking about this Frontier Airlines passenger. Private conversation. They're kicked off because of a private conversation. That is a complete violation of freedom of speech. All right, I'll be back momentarily here. With Lisa Logan. Got to wrap it and make a quick turnaround here. Thanks for tuning in. Lucas Wall. You can check out what I think it's lucaswall.travel. Check out what he's doing. And then who joined me today is Michael Ferris and Tony Edis. Support these men. Support these men and get this word out. Ian Trache, discuss your truth. Be awesome.